Well, as you probably know, we have a wedding coming up on Tuesday in our house. Andrew is getting married, and all sorts of arrangements have been made for the big day. Andrew has a new suit, I have a new suit, Lynn has a new outfit. There are flowers that have been ordered, cars arranged, venues visited, churches risk assessed, speeches written, rings bought, and that's just our side of the house. The bride and her family have their side of the arrangements as well. And what no one wants is that on the big day, something should be forgotten or overlooked. So every box is being ticked, every base is being covered. We want to be ready, and none of us wants to be red-faced due to being caught out. And today as we come to Matthew chapter 25, you'll be thinking I've deliberately timed this to be the sermon just before a wedding in our house, but it's not the case. I hadn't planned that at all. The Spirit is in this and has brought us to this today. The problem with this parable, the five foolish virgins, is that they weren't ready. They were ill-prepared. They had overlooked something and they made assumptions, and so they found themselves locked out of the wedding and unable to gain entry. The parable, remember, comes in the back of a whole chapter of Christ's teaching on the second coming, chapter 24. He devotes this whole section of teaching to this matter, and here now in chapter 25, if you like, he is applying the message of his second coming. And he is saying through this parable, the key verse is the last verse, verse 13, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour when the Son of Man will come." And the message is for you and for me, it's for all of us. You're in this parable and I'm in this parable. When Christ returns, will you be ready or will you be red-faced? Which will it be? First of all then, let's look at the warning of this parable. And the warning of it is that if you're not ready for a second coming, it's no trivial matter. The parable ends with the five foolish virgins locked out. They had been invited, yes. They were wearing their bridesmaids' outfits, yes. They spoke to the bridegroom respectfully in verse 11, "Sir, sir," they called him. They had desire in their hearts to enter the wedding festival. They banged on the door, but they weren't admitted. Verse 12, "I tell you the truth," the bridegroom says, "I don't know you." This came home to me a few years ago, just that sense of being locked out of something. I'd gone up to the General Assembly with my two elders at that time. On Thursdays in the General Assembly in Belfast, the private session was Thursday afternoons. That's the session, it's the only private session in the week when the problem churches are discussed, the problem ministers are discussed, the problem elders are discussed. It's not open for the press to sit in or for the public to sit in, so it's by card only you can get admission to that session. And when we got to the door, Alan had forgotten his card. We knew the man in the door who was admitting people, and we knew him very well. In fact, we were personal friends. But he said, "I'm sorry, rules are rules. You're not allowed in." And poor Alan had to go home on his own that day. He couldn't get admission to the event. And that's the warning here of this parable, that this is just not a nice wee parable about bridesmaids and about a wedding. This is warning you and it's warning me that if we're not ready, we will be locked out of the kingdom of heaven. And it'll be painful, it'll be embarrassing, it'll leave you red-faced, it will leave you in a bad place. And that's why the bridegroom says, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. You can't come in. I don't know who you are." Apparently that's what rabbis said to misbehaving pupils. If they had consistently misbehaved, they got expelled from the school. And the rabbi would say to the pupil, "I don't know you, go." And once they said those words, "I don't know you," they had to go. That was it. They were out. We might say today, "Clear out your locker. You're gone." And it's possible here today that for someone listening to my voice, either online or in person here in the meeting house, that you will be someone who hears, "I don't know you, Who are you? Be gone on the last day. Secondly, then, we have our Lord highlighting what it looks like to be not ready. Just not the fact that there will be people who won't be ready. What does it actually look like? And now we have to consider the lamps that the bridesmaids were carrying. The lamps were probably little clay pots, if you like, filled with olive oil. And they were used to light the procession through the streets in the days, of course, before streetlights. Weddings, Jewish weddings, often took place in the evening time. And for those of you who like a little bit of romance, it was very romantic to accompany the bridal party holding these little lights in a street. Remember, streets without streetlights. It added to the atmosphere of the occasion. The bridesmaids, maybe five down one side and five down the other, each holding a lamp. And because there was no set time for the wedding to begin, the wise thing was to assume nothing. Maybe you'd have enough oil in your lamp when the wedding started. You see, there was no set time for the wedding to start. This was the worldwide clocks. All you knew was the rough time that the bridegroom would come, or the brides would be there. So you could assume nothing. Maybe you'd have enough oil in your lamp, but then again, maybe you'd not. So the wise bridesmaids brought an extra jar of oil with them to top up their lamp. The foolish, however, assumed there'd be no problem. It'll all work out all right in the end. They presumed the bridegroom wouldn't delay. They presumed it would be all right on the night. They presumed, and they presumed wrongly. And what Jesus is saying here through this parable is that there are people who will have a little bit of Christianity that they think will see them all okay, but it won't. People who have made a commitment, who got a little bit of light, but who didn't follow through, who didn't sing the children's hymn, "Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning." They thought that because their light was lit 20, 30, 40 years ago, that'll be enough to see them through. Jesus is saying here through this parable, no, it won't. Those folk were complacent. They didn't press on to know the Lord. They assume all is well with their souls, when actually very little is well with their souls. They had no changed life. They had no holiness unto the Lord, no desire for the things of God. They may have served in some way, but then again, they may not have served. And Jesus warns, "Depart from me, for I do not know you." He says the same in chapter 7. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and perform many miracles?" Then I will tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." That's the five virgins. And the sight of them banging on the door to get in, dressed and looking the part, saying all the right things, "Sir, sir," and yet not being admitted, is a warning. It's a warning that you can be outwardly a Christian, but not inwardly a Christian. Assuming all is okay when all is not okay. So what about the wise virgins then? Verse 4 says, the wise took oil in jars along with their lamps. Here were women who thought ahead, who planned, who assumed nothing, who brought extra oil in jars. I have to say, whenever I conduct a wedding service, I'm usually standing down at the front here in front of the pulpit, and the bride comes down that aisle there. And she comes down the aisle, and just at that point between the front two pews, she turns to face the bridegroom. And he turns to face the bride. And when I conduct wedding services, I have to say, I always regard that moment as a sacred moment. And it often brings a tear to my eyes. I'm not ashamed to say that. Her desire is for him, and his desire is for her. Here in the parable, the desire of the wise bridesmaids is to see the bridegroom and to light him up. And when he arrives, in keeping with the custom and culture of the day, obviously it's a different wedding setup to the way we do weddings, but the desire was that these bridesmaids would accompany the bridegroom to the bride's house where the service would take place. And their desire in doing so was that they would light him up. That was their job, to facilitate the marriage event. And this is how you know the people who really and truly are ready for the second coming of Christ. Their desire, above all other desires, is for Christ, the bridegroom. The Psalms are written by people whose hearts were all for the Lord. Psalm 27, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." To do what? To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Psalm 42, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" Psalm 73, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you." And John the Baptist, when he was preaching just before the appearance of Christ, remember what he said? "He must increase, I must decrease." He's the bridegroom, I'm only the best man. It's all about Jesus. A lot of people claiming to be Christians and to be followers of Christ, how many of them have any real desire for Christ? To know him, to love him, to serve him, to witness of him. It seems they have very little warmth, very little love, very little time to spend with him in prayer or in his word or in practical service or in giving financially to his work. Imagine for a moment a bride getting married, and all she wants to talk about are her wedding presents. She has a full room of them. And even when the bridegroom enters the room and she's just talking about the mixer, the mirrors, the towels, the china, the cutlery, the lamps, the dishes, the radio, you'd be looking at her and looking at him and you'd be thinking, I don't like the sound of this. Why is she no time for the bridegroom? Why is she all about the presents and not her partner? And you'd be right. There'd be something wrong if the bride was not concerned first and foremost for her bridegroom. Yet is it not the case that so many people want to take from the Lord health and healing and wholeness and eternal salvation for their souls, but they have little or no time for the Lord? Where is the desire for Christ, the longing for Christ, the love to sit down with Christ under his shadow with great delight, just to enjoy him? I have a concern, you know, in many respects in the modern church, where people want to turn the church into a political movement. And we're against this, or we're against that, or we're against the other thing. The church is about Christ first and foremost. When was the last time you enjoyed? And I'm speaking to myself, because we live in a manic, frantic world where anything and everything demands our time. And I know with small children and so on, it can be difficult. But when was the last time you sat down to enjoy his lovely presence? Or you spoke of him to someone else, or you felt your heart was just bursting with love for Jesus Christ? You see, these five bridesmaids, their desire was to see the bridegroom. They just didn't have an outward show. They had made internal preparation as well, and they had brought these little jars with them. The Australian evangelist John Chapman, who died about 5 years ago, he tells of a teenager who became a Christian at her local youth group and how she had such an infectious love for Jesus Christ. Her family had no faith at all, but her parents, when they watched her changed life and how her life adorned the gospel. It got them thinking, and they began to look into Christianity for themselves. And I love that phrase that John Chapman uses about her, her infectious love for Jesus. You know, we live in a world where infection control, we're obsessed with infection control at the minute, obsessed with it. But many of us have infectious love for Jesus Christ. To light him up, to be with him, and to accompany him on his journey to the wedding feast. And just before we leave this parable today, let me end with the main point, and it's verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Jesus has already used the illustration of a thief breaking into your house. Now he uses the illustration of a bridegroom appearing at midnight. Imagine turning up for your wedding at midnight. I've had late brides over the years, but never at midnight. The worst bride ever was 45 minutes. But turning up at midnight. And these five who weren't ready, they set off at midnight to buy oil, really? Were shops open at midnight? Or maybe they went to some friends nearby hoping to borrow oil. Certainly they tried to borrow oil off the five who had brought the little jars with them, but they knew if they gave them their little jars, they mightn't have enough either. A reminder spiritually that you can't live off the spiritual life of others. Your mom and your dad may have been very fine Christians. You can't live off that, you know. Your grandfather may have been a minister or a missionary. You can't live off his profession and his life. Your wife may be in the choir. Your wife may be at every prayer meeting and serving in GB or BB or whatever it may be, but you can't live off that. Each is responsible for themselves to plow their furrow following the Lord wherever he leads them. And Jesus is teaching personal responsibility here in this parable. And what a pitiful sight it is to see the five foolish virgins going off to the shop or wherever to knock the door and get the shop open, perhaps. I don't know. But they didn't, when they came back, seem to have any because they were too late and they were locked out. We've had lockdown for the last year. This is being locked out. And Jesus warns here that it's possible that any of us could be locked out of the kingdom of heaven forever. The challenge is to get right with God today. Don't leave it to tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow might bring. Get right with God today. And I want to end on a positive. The five wise virgins who kept their oil burning and their little jars with them, they showed that here were people thinking. Thinking about keeping up the light, about keeping up their preparedness, about keeping up with what they were called to do. It's a picture for us of the oil of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And Jesus said, if you ask, how much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? There's a filling, an ongoing filling with the Spirit. The Spirit brings the light of God to a dark soul, the life of God to a dead soul, and the love of God to a cold soul. I don't know about you, but I feel daily the need for more of the Spirit. I need that daily. I need my spiritual life continually renewed. And I hope today, Christian, that you feel like that as well, and you're continually seeking to walk with God as best as you possibly can. And if you're not ready today, this parable is a warning to get ready. And not to miss your opportunity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for